17 Tomatoes. Tales from Kashmir is the first book written by Jaspreet Singh. It's a book set in an Indian army camp in Kashmir. Jaspreet Singh grew up in India and Kashmir and received his PhD in chemical engineering from McGill University. He now makes his home at Montreal. I had a chance to speak to Jaspreet Singh about his first book, 17 Tomatoes, while he attended the Blue Metropolis in April 2005.
So I have this book right in front of me, and it's a beautiful cover. Could you maybe describe, say, the different elements of the cover? What's the title? What are the colors, the pictures on it?
Well, it's a cover which was designed by a brilliant guy who lives in the Eastern Townships. His name is David Drummond. And he was very concerned because the title is 17 Tomatoes, Tales from Kashmir. And he was very concerned because he didn't know, he has never been to Kashmir. And he asked me, is there something that you don't want there, Jaspreet? And I said to him, I don't want a woman in a sari on the cover, no woman in a veil, no gun, just because these stories are set in Kashmir. And no spice. And he kind of came up with this brilliant idea. There is a cricket ball, a close-up image of a cricket ball. And on the cricket ball, you see a tiger. And 17 is written like a number, which once again is great. Cricket involves numbers. But the book is also about the army camps in Kashmir. And this is exactly how the army battalions are designed. And the tiger, if you look at the army emblems all over Kashmir, tiger appears very prominently. And probably I'm overreading this, but the tales of from Kashmir somehow begins and ends with the tale of the tiger.
Okay, maybe you want to introduce what this book is about?
Well, the book, it revolves around two Sikh boys, Adi and Arjun, and they are growing up in an army camp or several army camps in Kashmir. And it's a coming-of-age book. It follows their stories and all the characters that they encounter. There is a prisoner of war who ends up in India right after the Kargil War of 1999. Captain Faiz, there is Nuria, who is a boatman's daughter, and there is a cricket umpire who gets kidnapped. So there's a whole assortment of characters. But basically the book is about the coming of age of these two boys.
Is it possible if you could just read a section of your book, anything that you want to choose?
Yeah, sure. This story is called Heaven. And it is a very, very short story. The way I have organized the book, the opening story and the last story, they are just a page long. And so I'm going to read the last story called Heaven. And I wrote this story filled with anxiety, what next? And also trying to answer this question my friends would pose again and again. Okay, Jaspreet, you've written this book, but, you know, how exactly is this book going to help solve the Kashmir problem? And so the story emerged out of these two anxieties. Heaven. In Kashmir, near Kargil, there was an old man who knew how to climb the tallest mountain and become lighter than air. To keep alive, he ate snow, and when people asked him why he ate snow, he answered, "It is not forbidden." Always a trail of children followed him. Once the boy Adi asked, "Baba, why do you keep climbing the same mountain again and again?" "Boy, I am calculating the distance to heaven." Time passed. The man correctly and satisfactorily calculated the distance. Yet he never stopped trudging up the slopes of the mountain. He had grown very old, and the boy had turned into a tall man. "Baba, Adi asked him one day, Now why do you keep climbing? You've figured the distance. Isn't it boring? The distance to heaven, the old man replied with a whiff of sadness. You see, the distance is not a constant, as I thought earlier. It fluctuates with the population of the birds. This means, the boy interpreted, you will never be successful. The old man fell on his knees, smiled, and scooped up some freshly fallen snow from the trail. As he began eating the flakes, one by one, he turned to the boy and said, all it means is that more work is required. More work is required.
Thank you. Can you talk a little bit about the process that you went through in writing and creating the stories in 17 Tomatoes?
You know, I was trained as an engineer. And I thought that I just couldn't write. So I wrote my first story, and then out of that first story emerged the second one. And then at that point, someone suggested, why don't you write a book? Have you thought about expanding the stories into a book? So linking these stories was not something that I decided. Writing specifically on Kashmir is something that I had not decided. It just happened that my first story was set in Kashmir. I grew up in Kashmir. And it was impossible to give any other setting to my stories. I think probably I was processing the information about my own childhood. I would approach Kashmir from the point of view of adults, and I would actually think not just about the beautiful mountains and the gardens and the rivers and valleys and all that, but I would actually find this beauty very oppressive because, you know, there was this fear of war between India and Pakistan over Kashmir. And that's when I started writing the stories. I mean, you know, it was a very dark time. Now there is more hope. I read that there is going to be a bus link between the Indian side of Kashmir, between Srinagar, and the capital of the Pakistani side, Muzaffarabad. So there is some hope, some promising news. But at that time, Kashmir, people said, was going to be the nuclear flashpoint. And yet at the same time, my stories, just because I was just trying to mimic the dark times, just trying to write them as they were, they didn't work well. They were more like some newspaper accounts of what was going on. And the beauty, as I said, I found even these beautiful gardens very oppressive, very incongruous in Kashmir. And at that point, I encountered a writer who has over a period of years started to mean a lot to me. He has become a model, and his name is Italo Calvino, the Italian writer. He wrote a book, a very slim book, called Six Memos for the Next Millennium. And in that book, he tried to capture all those qualities that are essential to literature, the qualities that he wanted to survive the millennium. And what are these qualities? According to Calvino, there is quickness and lightness and visibility and multiplicity and exactitude and consistency. And I read that book, and it gave a new turn to my stories. It brought more lightness to these stories. Actually, the title story, 17 Tomatoes, I wrote not just after reading Pablo Neruda's An Ode to a Tomato, but also after reading Six Memos for the Next Millennium. And you will find that it is a story that is, you know, set in very oppressive conditions, but it has a lot of lightness. And it is also a story that moves very quickly. So I tried to apply Calvino's ideas to my fictions, and I started liking my stories, and I developed faith in those stories. And because in this particular story, I brought in children, the children gave a new direction to the book. You know that children, wherever they are, they lead very marvelous lives, and they have fantastic ways of looking at the world. Just a few days ago, I mean, you know, this girl just lives in Toronto, not in Kashmir, but I heard that she returned home. Someone at school had mentioned, you know, Canadian soldiers, they fought this war. Someone was actually telling them about the Remembrance Day. Why is it that we remember that particular day? And they said that the Canadian soldiers were fighting for peace in this war. And the girl comes home and she says, "Oh, mommy, Canadian soldiers were fighting for peas in water." And it is just fantastic. I mean, how she basically transformed everything, and she has her own way of looking at the world. And children somehow brought lots of lightness to my narrative, and they also brought lots of mobility, because, you know, I was able to go to places where adults wouldn't have actually taken me to. So they allowed me to cross many borders.
In your writing, so you're talking about Pablo Neruda being, let's say, a partial influence for your book, for your story, 17 Tomatoes, and also I've noticed in some of your writings there's an influence from South Asian poetry, particularly Kashmiri poetry. Can you talk a little about the influence of South Asian poets in your writing?
South Asian poets are extremely important. Actually, poets in general are important, because poets took me closer to language. You'll notice when you read the book, I write sentences which are somewhere between poetry and prose. So it's in this in-between state. And I actually learn a lot from poets. English is my first language, and poetry, when I go to the English poets, or when I go to the Latin American poets translated into English, or when I go to the South Asian poets, they take me closer to language as such, because, you know, when I write, there are three or four different languages roaming around. And then all of these different languages have to distill a sentence or a word into English.
Now, it says that you studied chemical engineering from McGill University. And when you read some of your short stories, it comes across your engineering background. Sometimes you'll describe a room having a smell of ammonium, or there's a scene where you describe the game of musical chairs using mathematics. Can you talk a little bit about that, the influence of engineering or your background in science in your writing, which makes it quite unique to other stories?
You know, when I look at my background, I also look at about others who made a similar transition. You know, are there other chemists who started writing stories? There is one very interesting example, Primo Levi. Primo Levi was an Italian, and the fascists actually sent him to Auschwitz. But chemistry somehow saved his life. And after he was released, he was one of the lucky ones. He started writing. He stopped doing chemistry. And there was this incredible need to tell the story. Now, His book is called The Periodic Table, and it's a very, very interesting sort of a way to organize memories, because here is a chemist who takes certain elements from the periodic table, and he says, aha, these are the, this is argon, this is an inert gas, and inert gases don't react with other things, okay? These molecules just want to be by themselves. And many of my own relatives were a bit like these inert gases, okay? They were self-contained and they won't interact with the neighbors. And I was very, very fascinated by Primo Levi's example because, I mean, first of all, he had made that transition from chemistry to writing, but then he also brought in chemistry into his writing. And when I was working on my own narratives, I would constantly ask myself this question, you know, the two boys, one of them was going to become a chemist, right? So, although they don't know yet, but I knew that they were going to, one of them was going to become a chemist later on, a very hardcore scientist who had this enormous belief in modernity. And I was very curious to paint this portrait of a scientist as a young man. How would a scientist as a child look at the world? And there can be so many different variations. And I was also trying to deal with this other aspect. I whenever I read South Asian fiction, I think this whole strand of science and technology is missing, which is very unfortunate because you know, there is a lot that gets written about the myth. There is a lot that gets written about the politics. There is a lot that gets written about the spices and the food, garlands, jasmine, marigold. But how do you actually explain India, Pakistan, Kashmir with nuclear bombs? Okay, and these are not bombs which just got stolen from the United States or the Soviet Union. Made in India and Pakistan, scientists, they actually developed these bombs. And not just the bombs, but the cell phones. And how do you explain that, you know, right now, most of the people, most of the engineers who move to the United States or Canada, from India or Pakistan, they are the specialists in software, right? And this whole aspect, this aspect never gets represented. Whereas if you lead your everyday life in South Asia, you think that it is always present. And I wanted to make up for this absence.
That was an interview with Jaspreet Singh about his book, 17 Tomatoes, Tales from Kashmir.